Earlier this summer, Navitas Ventures launched the world's first global edtech census, an initiative to map and profile education, innovation, and technology ecosystems around the world. With only 20 days left and an ambitious goal to identify and connect 30,000 education companies from around the world, they need your help. If you or someone you know has an education technology company, make sure it's counted this year. The census is 10 simple questions which take no longer than 2 minutes to complete, and you'll be one of the first to receive the first annual report later this year. Just visit www.globaledtechcensus.org. Complete the short form and make sure your business makes it on the map. That's www.globaledtechcensus.org. Hi everyone, and welcome to the EdTech Podcast. My name is Sophie Bailey, and this week a big shout out to Colin Hegarty at Hegarty Maths and Henry Warren from Aga Khan Education Services for their lovely messages. Colin said, "Hi Sophie, I wanted to take a moment to say thank you for your wonderful podcasts. They are super. I've listened to them on long drives to schools all over the country this year. I really appreciate your expertise and work." And Henry said, "Just wanted to say what a great job you're doing with the podcast. I'm really enjoying it. Keep up the great work. Keep doing what you're doing, Sophie. It's ace." Thanks, Colin and Henry. If you also would like to give some feedback, we would love you to post your comments and reviews on the iTunes podcast link or wherever you're listening. You can also check out our Patreon site at Patreon, that's patreon.com/theEdTechPodcast. Now, on to today's episode. This week, we're in conversation with top YouTube and HR tech legend, Amy Bateman from CareerCake. I met Amy on the flight out to ASU GSV Summit, and during some mammoth brunch and hiking sessions in Salt Lake City, I was lucky enough to find out about her move from recruitment consultant to YouTube presenter to careers business with mentors and investors including Harley Parsons and Kevin Hughes, the co-founders of Go Compare. If you are after an authentic personality who has reacted to personal or professional challenges by putting her best foot forward and creating a business which helps millions and gets personal feedback from young people who've gone on to secure their dream job, then this one is for you. And if you're international and listening in, get your translation services on because this one's in English with a beautiful Welsh accent. I'm here with Amy Bateman, who is CEO of CareerCake. And we actually met on the plane after pretty much ignoring each other the whole flight. And then
I tried to talk to you. I totally tried to make a conversation.
I was probably drooling.
I asked if you wanted the middle pillow. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, no, you did.
That was my way of saying, please be friends with me.
And then I probably ignored you and went to sleep. Then we got talking at the end of the flight as we were sort of collecting our stuff. And it turned out you saw my EdTech podcast hoodie and got chatting about that. And
I followed you on Twitter anyway.
Yeah, and we've both found out that with many people on the plane that we're both going to ASU GSV. Interestingly, so we have similarities in, you know, having had very secure jobs, quit them to the shock and horror of many people around us, and then gone off and used essentially sort of open platforms. So you with YouTube and me with podcasting to develop something, but you're much further down the road than I am, up to 2.5 million views on some of your YouTube.
Yeah, bits. I think collectively over, I think there's about six or seven, well, there was seven, I think one of them shut down, but there's about six strategic channels that I operate my videos within. I think it's like 21 million now, I think.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so bad for a girl from Wales.
Yeah. Girl from Barry Islands. Well, yeah. I mean, certainly not bad from somebody. You know, it was never meant to be a thing. I mean, if this was meant to be a business, trust me, I wouldn't have called it CareerCake. Like, who names a business CareerCake? But I was like, I like careers. I like cake. This is just my YouTube channel. I've got a £15 camera I bought from eBay. It's 2010. Nobody's really doing anything on YouTube, not in the career space anyway.
Yeah.
Let's just make some videos and pass out the channel to some people that have lost their jobs.
Yeah. So was it 2010? So
yeah, it's just 2010.
Still feeling the repercussions of the recession.
In Wales, that's when it really hit. And Wales is majority of, certainly South Wales, is manufacturing, public sector, which are the two areas that were hit massively. And a lot of people in Wales, a huge amount of talent were out of work through no fault of their own. Yeah. And the last time they were out of work, there was no internet. You know, you got a job because you drank with Harry down the pub, or, you know, you went to the job center in the morning, you were working by that afternoon.
Yeah.
And as a recruiter, we're not there to help you get a job. We're there to find that company talent. And if that company, if you don't match their brief, I can't help you. And I remember there was just this one day, I mean, I was getting frustrated and frustrated because in my 20s, I was just all about the bonuses. I want a nice handbag. I want a nice car. It's just, you know, when there's jobs coming out of your ears and you're filling them left, right and center and getting the bonuses, it's fine because everyone's winning. Yeah, people are getting jobs. Clients are happy and you're making your company money. But when there's no job, even when there are jobs, they're not using a recruiter to fill those jobs, because why would they pay our company $3,000 or $4,000 when there's people knocking on their door? Really talented people. I was kind of thinking, this is just not fun. We got people coming in crying. I remember these two old ladies came in, and I say old ladies, they probably weren't that old. They were like 60. When I'm 60, if anyone calls me old, I will literally kick their ass. But my mum is like 60, you know, they weren't old, but I remember just in their head, they weren't tech savvy. They didn't know how to use the internet. They didn't know how to job search. They'd worked at the same company for 30 years and they'd sat next to each other. They'd rocked up to work one day and there was just a big sign on the door saying, "We shut, we've gone into administration." And they'd gone home, put on their best suits. They were all dressed up to the nines, they were adorable. And they'd come down to Cardiff, to the big city, and they'd come to recruitment consultants. And they were so terrified when I walked in the room that they were holding hands. Can you imagine sitting next to the same human being every day for 30 years?
And that's the thing. It's like, you won't even be in the same job, same career, like over a lifetime that might span 100 years.
Yeah.
Now, so.
Yeah. And I couldn't help them. They didn't, you know, we didn't have a job for them. So I was just like, right, this has got to change. How can I help people? I was giving my mobile number to people, even when they were going for interviews throughout, you know, for not through our agency or anything. And I was like, this is just not on. I feel so helpless. I've got all of these skills. I mean, I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know a lot about a little bit. And the stuff they need to know is the stuff I know a lot about. So I just made these videos. Yeah, this is how you write a CV. This is how you get your foot in the door. This is how you set up a LinkedIn profile. All this kind of stuff. They were the worst production, Sophie. I don't even have any of the original ones and I wish I still had them. But like, my cat was in one. There was a bottle of vodka on put my fridge, a microwave lasagna in the background. Because it was not meant to be a thing. It was just meant for me to be able to give people some videos when they came into our office. And then in the end, I was like, I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm making YouTube videos. And everyone thought I was crazy.
So did it start to take traction, have traction before you left?
No, that would have been sensible. No, I literally made no money for like 18 months. I was just hustling until my eyes were bleeding. I was making videos left, right and center. I was doing a bit of recruitment on the side, which was paying the bills. When you've been in recruitment for like 12 years, you know, you pretty much know people, you know, good people. And I've always surrounded myself with people that are smarter than me. So you just put good people in front of good people, and I was able to make a little bit of money that way. But I was just driven by the fact that I didn't want to disrupt anything. I was not looking to disrupt an industry. I was just looking to help people. And I loved my idea and I loved sharing advice.
So when did it get to the point where you're like, hang on a second, look at all these comments, or look at how many views this has had? And
yeah,
it sort quickly. Of exponentially went from there.
Yeah, quickly. And probably about 6 months in, I was at about, I don't know. I remember one of my videos got to 10,000 hits and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is crazy. And then I remember the BBC called. So BBC wanted me to do some stuff for their BBC Learning. And then I remember AAT, so the Association of Accounting Technicians, were just setting up a YouTube channel. And they were going to pay me £300 to make a 2-minute video twice a month answering their members' questions from the forum. And I was like, this is heaven. What I didn't think about at the time was that now for the rest of my life, they will always own those videos.
Oh, yeah,
And I'm now on YouTube talking about things on LinkedIn that you can't do on LinkedIn anymore.
Okay.
But at the time I was just like, it will help me eat and it will help me pay the rent.
So what's really interesting is you got to the point where essentially the YouTube channel, you pivoted that into a business. And as I understand it, it's now invested in by people like the senior execs behind GoCompare and others.
Yeah, well, I got to the point where I built this beautiful, beautiful community, and I would have comments from people like Kenya. I've never been to Kenya, and I had someone in Kenya going, you know, you helped me get a job, you helped me believe in myself and all this kind of stuff. And I built this beautiful community, but ultimately they would then go and get a job. But not just because my advice is good, although if you are listening, my advice in that area I do think is good, but because they were awesome anyway. So they were going out and then getting a job within 3 months, 6 months, and then they wouldn't need me anymore. And not saying that, you know, I don't have any friends or anything, because I do, but I'd miss them.
Yeah.
They'd go, you know, you build this community where you're on Facebook, you're on social media, and my whole entire life was career cake. Like, you cut me in half, I bled career cake. So they were my family and I loved them. And then I'd have these stories and I'd be like, okay, bye. So I was like, well, no, I want to help you. Because once you get in that job, you might need a pay rise, or you might need a promotion, or you might get bullied and you might not know how to deal with it. I want to keep you close. So that's when I decided that I wanted to turn my YouTube channel into a platform where other people could, well, when it wasn't even that I wanted to turn it into a platform, I just wanted to make YouTube videos where other people would give advice about how to be awesome when you're in the job. I don't know how to do that. Like, I'm not the best person to talk about management and leadership. I can talk about how to get you there, but then somebody else needs to take over. But I know these people. Like I said, I know smart people. So it was just a case of them making YouTube videos. But then the production, I wanted the production to be better, and things grew and things got bigger. And I was like, I can't keep traveling the country doing keynotes and stuff to pay for this YouTube stuff. Something else has got to happen. I don't want to be a keynote speaker. I mean, some television companies wanted me to host some television shows around careers. And I was like, I don't want to be a TV presenter. That's not the plan. I want to build a platform and a community via tech. So I had to take investment. So I went out and got investment in June 2015. The interesting thing is that it sounds like, oh, you turned your YouTube channel into a business. That's really still a big struggle for us, because anybody can say that they love your stuff and you can get 21 million hits when it's free. When you're asking people to pay for it, and you know how you manage that model, and when experts are out there wanting to share their content with you on YouTube, but they know that there's a revenue issue there, so how do you split that? And so, yeah, it's turned into this. Well, in the last 8 months, we've sold courses into 29 countries, paying courses. So we're getting there, but it's a massive challenge.
Yeah.
Quite the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like people. I'm here, obviously, with you at this conference and stuff. And people go, oh, so what's your company called? I'm like,
Career Cake.
I'm like, please. It was not meant to be a company.
I think I've heard a lot worse names than that.
Good. All right, cool. Because people keep saying to me, is it because like cake, you put loads of like ingredients in a cake to make a cake, and like your career? And I'm like, nope, just like cake.
Yeah. The domain name was free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was really interesting to chat as well, because I feel like a big talking point here has been around, I mean, we both sat and watched the CEO of LinkedIn speak yesterday, and there's lots of chat around how the old idea of, you know, going to school, you know, potentially going to university and then going into a job and that's the end of your learning is out the window now. And if you're having multiple careers, or if you are, you know, facing potential redundancy because of automation, like, how do you get about that? And obviously that's great business for you, because people need to kind of work out how to support themselves and one another and learn. So how are you kind of developing what you're doing to kind of tackle some of those issues?
I think understanding where the market's going. So like 2020, they think that, you know, almost 50% of the marketplace will have a side hustle. Understanding that people will have 15 jobs throughout their career. Understanding that most people will have that. They could be a HR manager, but they will have that dog walking business on the side. Yeah. Or, you know, that we are literally going to be surrounded by people with portfolio careers. So taking our content and ensuring that we, one, we hit the core objective, which is helping people be seen, heard and valued in a very, very competitive marketplace. When there are 72,000 graduates coming out of universities in the UK alone every single year, I think it's 71%, according to the AGR, still in non-graduate roles up to 2 years after graduating. And then all of a sudden there's 72,000 people joining the queue too. It's noisy and it's hard. I remember when I graduated in 2003, like literally everyone got a job, everyone, like even me. And helping people be seen, heard and valued is really, really important. And understanding that they want to get that information the way that they want to get it, which is on demand. So you've got these universities and stuff that, you know, have these wonderful careers advisors, but they don't always want to walk in the room and sit down with somebody and say, I'm struggling, how do I do this? And when they do have the realization that they're struggling, it's 2 a.m. in the morning and the application has to be in at 9 a.m. on Monday. So making sure that our content is on demand and relevant, but also what's really important for me and one of my biggest challenges is the context. So not just the content, because there's loads of people out there that know loads of good stuff, right? There's loads of information on the internet. But it's the context that you put that information in, the storytelling, the engagement, the quality, not just of the information, but the expert that's delivering that on a video. I want them to watch that and go, my God, that person cares about me. Like, they're my mate.
Because I was just about to say, actually, you mentioned support at 2 a.m. and I thought immediately of chatbots, you know, so being able to ask that question, perhaps getting an immediate response and, you know, it being automated in that way.
I've got one piece of feedback. It came through from somebody called Veronica the other day. But with the feedback that we get, and it's not just me because I handpick people, just something about, you know, watching your videos felt like I was sitting in the living room with a family member.
Yeah.
I felt, because nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah. Well, where does that all come from then as well? Because, you know, what was your own education like? What was it like getting into recruitment? Because a lot of people don't care. So
no, they really don't.
Yeah.
Well, I was...
Especially recruitment's got a pretty bad name for itself.
Oh my God, totally. I was, yeah, totally. But, you know, there are some that do care. Yeah. If you'd asked me this 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't talk about it. But so I spent the majority of my teenagers in foster homes and stuff. And there wasn't really any expectation on me to really do anything. And I was judged a lot. I lived in a little village in Pembrokeshire. There were some people that weren't allowed to be friends with me. I'd have to meet them at the bus stop rather than knock on the door. Or, you know, we'd go around after school to play computer games or listen to music. And when the parents came up the drive, I'd have to jump out the back door because I was deemed a troubled kid. And I was a really good kid. Like, if I do say so myself, I was really well behaved. And, you know, my family just had issues at the time. No big deal. No drama at all. But people just label you. But then I had issues with not really caring, nobody really telling me I needed to do stuff. So I didn't have a massive, my attendance wasn't great. I went back a year in school. So I actually repeated a year at one time just because I was never there. And then I remember our education officer saying to us, you had like a meeting with her when you were just about to start your GCSEs and just that token, pick you up from school and take you to the chip shop and make you feel like you can do anything. And I remember her just saying to me, so you probably won't go to university. So if you're thinking about what you'd like to do when you leave school at 16, and I was like, you what? I don't know where this came from. Like, I'm come from a council estate in Barry, right? It's like I was born to be Kate Middleton or something. I've just always had this bulletproof, fearless attitude. And I don't know where it came from, but I was like, nah, I've seen people that are a lot worse off because there's no such thing as a level playing field. Everybody, there's always somebody with a harder time than you. I was like, nah. I'm going to do something. And you telling me that I can't is just, so I think I was like the first, I remember not liking her. And I remember I probably sat there and didn't eat my chips and yeah, she didn't care. Anyway, that was me knowing that she didn't give a damn about me. She was just going to fill in her Excel spreadsheet when she got back to the office. And then I was just like, I think I was the first in 9 years in our county to go to university. And then I went and I got a job and I was awesome at making the money. And then because I never told anybody. In fact, I only told that story. Nobody knew about it actually until I was 31 and I did my TED talk. I was doing it on judgment. So I thought I better talk about this because I can't talk about judgment and then keep this secret. Never mentioned it in a job. It like literally never mentioned it publicly. Yeah, I went to this job and I was good at making the money and then everybody liked me and I wasn't the loner anymore. And I was like, I got this from my job. I'm seen, heard and valued. Like everybody needs to be seen, heard and valued, whether you're Mother Teresa or you're a serial killer. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We all need to feel seen, heard and valued, whether it's by a lot of people or a few. And all of a sudden I was in a career and I did feel like that. And then I liked what I saw in the mirror and I had like, I was really shy and all of a sudden I had confidence. And I could talk to people and I liked myself, you know, and I was like, I want to do that for other people for the rest of my life. And now I do.
Quite a phenomenal story. I love it.
Although I'm here surrounded by all of these people, like I feel a bit out of place. I'm like, everyone's smarter than, like, I don't know, I just feel a bit intimidated.
I don't know, you were very, very smart, but we were laughing about, you know, there's lots of Silicon Valley types here. And then, I don't know, I always feel like that being from the Isle of Wight and you sort of
being a Welshie.
Yeah, so.
I tweeted out to everyone at the conference last night, is there anybody Welsh? I've not met one Welsh person.
Just like resounding silence.
Honest to God, I got one, this one person said, well, my name's Jones. Does that count? I was like, I will take that. And then another person tweeted me this morning from Wales going, no, the sun's shining over here, but we all stayed at home.
So, I mean, if people are listening in, how can they get in contact with you? I know you're on Twitter and Instagram and so on. So
yeah, so Instagram is Amy, but I spell it AIMEE because my mum was trying to be posh. _ Bateman. So I'm, yeah, also careercake.com. So I'm on all of this. Yeah, the channel, all of the channels.
And so are you looking for other partners, potential content partners to work with the platform?
We film in our studios in Bristol. We have the most amazing, I'm so blessed to have the most amazing production team. So anybody that is, a coach or an educator that is comfortable delivering on camera, and if they don't want to deliver on camera, then we do peer-to-peer interviews because some people don't want to just look at a camera and deliver content. So we're looking to anybody that can do anything within job hunting, career development or entrepreneurship. And then we literally just split our revenues 50-50 with them. So we do all of the costs, we put up all of the costs. All we ask is that you care, you write good content, and you're open and willing to build your brand via CareerCake and help people be seen, heard and valued.
And for the educators listening in who want to help their students, you know, have that kind of skills base mm-hmm. to go and do whatever they want to do, how do they access that content as well?
So we have licenses with Leicester University. We work with Wolverhampton University, 3,000 students at Cardiff Business School. We are not there to replace careers departments or placement offices. Absolutely not. We are there to facilitate their awesomeness. We're there to facilitate the purpose of, you know, they're there to help people become more employable. So we offer licenses. So every one of their students, however, you might buy 5,000 licenses, 500, will get an access code and then they create their own account. They go into the platform and they literally just fill their boots. They watch as much as they want, when they want, at any time they want. And they review and feedback to us. But it's not just education institutions. You know, for example, we work with financial lenders, mortgage companies, that if you can't pay your mortgage and you phone up and you go, I can't pay.
Yeah.
They also give out access to our platform as well. So it's...
So around financial literacy type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I know it's a sharp turnaround today.
That's all right.
Well,
I'm going to go and meet one of my heroes now. I'm going to go and meet Chase Jarvis, which I'm so excited about, from Creative Live.
Can't be late for that.
No, thanks for asking me to do this.
No, thanks for coming on. It's good to meet you on the plane.
Yay. Thanks for being my friend.
Thank you, Amy, for being my friend too. Yay! Thanks for listening in, everyone. If you've been working through the ASU GSV Summit series and enjoying it, we are back with a series on the 10th of September looking at efficacy and impact with the Jefferson Education Accelerator, among others. Before all of that, our next episode is a takeover from Unio, looking at user-centered design and co-creating best-of-breed edtech with teachers for teachers, with three educators, an investor and head of marketing all chipping in. If you like the sound of that, make sure you subscribe to the EdTech podcast on iTunes or Android players. And finally, don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to find out about our upcoming meetup drinks, cool jobs currently circulating, and other announcements. I do hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Send us your feedback on Twitter at @PodcastEdTech, join us on Facebook, and see you next time.